listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 266, Sergeant Stubby, an American hero. Aw, he's so cute. In context. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties, because it's time to dive into today's episode.
Hey there, animation addicts. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling.
And I'm Chelsea Robson. Morgan, you and I have passed some cool animal memes and things back and forth to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite ones that I've ever seen on Instagram or any of the socials was that one where it just talks about these animals and how we don't deserve them. And you had like this one about elephants where their trainer or something died after them being away. Like they hadn't seen him for 3 years. The trainer dies, and then these elephants travel for hundreds of miles, end up back at this house, pay their respects, or just sit around for 3 days and then leave. And I just like, I don't understand. Like animals are just crazy. I just don't understand.
That's wild, because how do they know that he had died? They just knew that it happened, that they're so in tune.
And then I've talked about these before. There's these dogs that they've trained them how to talk via buttons. And
oh, yes.
Like, I have not been able to teach my dog how to talk with buttons, but I really want her to talk with buttons. And I think every dog should learn how to talk with buttons, because, man, it's just so fascinating to watch them. So can we get buttons for Stubby? Because, man, I'd like to hear the stories he could tell.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What a wild story about this dog. So crazy.
Yeah. So we are talking about Sergeant Stubby, an American hero. And we'll just be going and digging into about how there's so many animals out there that we just don't deserve. So get ready.
Let's go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, so a little bit about this film. It's by Mikros Image. That's the studio. The other studio is also called Funacadia Media Group. The directors were Richard Lani. Release date, April 13th, 2018. The budget was estimated $25 million, and this was considered a box office flop, doing just $4.9 million. And it's such a bummer to hear that. I don't like hearing when any first movie that a studio does just is a complete flop.
Oh, yeah.
It's really such a bummer. There were a variety of reasons this movie flopped. Of course, good old Disney got in the way. Mm-hmm. So initially, you know, so the film was supposed to be released April 13th, 2018. But then a month before this, they announced that Rampage, which was supposed to come out a week later, they were going to move that movie up. And then Disney also announced that they were going to move Avengers Infinity War up. And then at the same time, Wes Anderson's stop motion feature Isle of Dogs, it did so well that they ended up expanding it to nearly 2,000 locations. And so that really, Kate, you know, took market share as well. And so just all these films just started appearing during this release weekend when initially it was supposed to be a little bit more free and to give them a chance. And they just didn't have a chance at all. You know, at this point, when there's these two dog movies, one is very well known. It's critically acclaimed. It's people are talking about it. And this other one's just this war dog movie that no one's really heard of.
Right. From a studio that's never been heard of and
that has no marketing budget.
Right.
And yeah.
And it's like only a certain amount of theaters and, you know, it's a sad thing. I did a little bit of research into Fun Academy Studios and I was trying to figure out, okay, who they are. What is this? I go to their website and there's not a lot to go on as far as like who they are, but there is a LinkedIn.
Okay.
And so I went into their LinkedIn and their overview says Fun Academy Studios produces and distributes animated entertainment and educational media for global audiences of all ages, focusing on substantive, relevant, and real life storytelling for a crowded children's entertainment landscape dominated by fantasy and fairy tale. Fun Academy uses true historical events and great works of literature to create age-appropriate, intergenerational content for the whole family. With an electric team from diverse backgrounds of animation, documentary, fine art, music, education, business, military, technology, Fun Academy has established a global resource network to attract top talent and leverage localized production incentives, controlling costs without sacrificing quality. And it's actually based out of Ireland. They have a couple different places. They have one in Montreal, another in Paris, but everything is based out of Ireland. They also have an office in Los Angeles. So their very first film that they tried to do was Sergeant Stubby, an American Hero. As I look at their company size, it is small. It is 2 to 10 employees in 2022. So, and it was founded in 2015. Yeah, there's only 5 of those employees on LinkedIn. So that's an interesting bit. Obviously, this did not go well for this studio.
No, like, it's such a bummer. Aw. And then I read that they have plans to make this a trilogy and do even more with the Sergeant Stubbs thing. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it didn't do so great for you the first time.
Yeah, you really have to get the audience. And that was a major issue with this. I think that they didn't really know how to get the distribution in the right hands. I mean, if you were to connect with different distributors that have more of an audience like built in, then I think it would be able to do a much better job of creating an audience for it from here on out. But as is, without a built-in audience, you're just not going to go anywhere. So I feel sad about that. They tried. They did $25 million. They got some bigger names. Helena Bonham Carter? Like, what?
Right. You know what's interesting? Because I'm American, obviously, and I love American history, and I love war. Well, actually, I don't love war. Oh, my gosh.
This is where you and I differ, but okay.
No, that came off totally wrong. Like, I love stories from American victories at war.
Okay.
You know, feel good stories about, you know, miracles that happen and this and that, right? I don't love war. I just put that out there. I don't love war, but you know, when you got to go to war, it happens, right? So, although I will say I don't love like World War II stuff, just because I feel like there's so much of it out there. My husband could watch every single World War II movie ever produced and never stop. And I'm just like, yeah, I'd rather watch something else. But I really do love American history,
yeah.
What it comes down to. And showcasing parts of American history, especially to a broader audience. And so on the surface, this seems like a really cool film. Like, yes, they need to make more films about American history. And it's super cool because it's about a dog. But beyond that, like, but okay. So there was this dog that ended up, you know, being very integral in World War I. Okay, cool. Where's the story other than that? You know what I mean? Like that really captivates and draws people in, that makes them want to get out of their house, take their family and go see this movie and have a good time. I'm not sure what the draw was, you know, to really get people out.
For this movie specifically?
Uh-huh. Like, I get, like, everything on the surface. Like, it seems good. Like, this is good. But will the average moviegoer be interested?
Well, you're looking at 2018. And this was, so April 13th, 2018, they were trying to celebrate 100 years since World War One, and that is one thing that you can get from their website. It, I guess there was funding or at least some connection with the United States World War One Centennial Commission. So it looks like they got a good amount of funding from that. And that's why they chose 2018 specifically. They were really leaning into the, I really love American history and I want a feel good movie, but I don't, yeah, like you were saying, I don't know how that is a draw, as in it doesn't create a lot of scarcity. And so you just feel like, oh, I'll see it later, which means mm-hmm. you probably won't see it until 2022.
Yeah.
But we did rent it. So you got our money there.
4 years later, we did see it.
We did see it. Yeah, I see that they definitely need to find an outlet or a group or an online community that has this kind of community already built in for them to be able to continue with this type of filming, if that's the type of film that they're wanting to create, as what they said in LinkedIn. I don't think it's impossible, but it's just you got to get in with those people who are already creating that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you are the one who selected this for our roundup. We didn't even announce it last episode, but we are now in our dog series.
I know.
So we're going to be doing a bunch of films with dogs as the main characters, main protagonists. And so this is the second one coming up. Sergeant Stubby, an American hero. And funny enough, we are going to be doing Isle of Dogs next.
Yes.
So the one that kicked it off its pedestal. So get ready for that. Well, there was never really any pedestal to be had.
Right.
The potential of a pedestal, this one came and took it away. So why did you choose this film? Because I'd heard about this film, but I never went out of my way to saw it, kind of like what you said, and was fine having not seen it.
Well, since you asked, I was putting together a dog series because there's a bunch of these films that were on our, you know, someday we'll review list. And I was like, you know what? We haven't done a series in a while. So we should go back and do one of those series. So I was like, let's do a dog series. And I gathered all the movies about dogs, and this happened to be one of them. But the reason why it was on my list was because Rachel Wagner actually said that it was very good and something that she would highly recommend. And I believe that she was the one that asked us to add it to our list. So,
okay,
this is
a little shout out to Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel.
It's for you. All right. So this movie basically is about this stray dog who ends up meeting and has a sergeant in the military.
No, a corporal, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what he was at the start. I think he was just a non-commissioned officer.
Okay.
I would want to say that, though, as far as story goes, Beeble Bergeron was head of stories.
Oh, interesting.
I was very intrigued when I heard that because I didn't see that listed really anywhere. I had to actually go in and look for it. There's not a lot of information about this on IMDb. You have to do a lot of digging. So I think that was the other thing.
Right.
It's like they didn't really have all of, like, they didn't create a story about the creation that would lean into other aspects of people wanting to see it. So
yeah,
I really loved The Monster in Paris. So knowing that Beebo did that one and then had connection to this one, I would have been like, yeah, let's see that. So those are a lot of little things that they kind of missed as far as like different avenues of getting more people in to see different things. But anyway, yes, let's talk about this dog. Who is this dog?
Well, he ends up joining the army somehow. They end up just keeping him around. And then through various events, he ends up making it on a boat going to Europe. And then he ends up helping the war efforts in World War One, helping spot out tear gas before the army does, snuff out some spies, lots of things. This is based on a true story as well. And so it's a really cool story to share about just all the heroes of war. And sometimes these heroes have four legs.
Yeah, I think from what I read, he was the very first dog to be registered or to give status as a non-commissioned officer. And in tradition, now every military working dog is a non-commissioned officer, and military dogs are always one rank higher than their handlers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek custom to ensure that the handler treats the dog properly and better than themselves, but also gives the working dog some leeway so that he doesn't have to, he's not in trouble for disobeying an order from his subordinate. So it's just a way of them creating this connection in within the military ranks. Man, they really put a lot into this movie. They even have an original score by Patrick Doyle. I mean, just this, so wow. Much.
Yeah. They were trying to make something.
They were. They were definitely putting something together.
The story is pretty cut and dry. It's pretty straightforward. I don't feel like there's really any high stakes.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of know where it's going. There's the one part where he gets injured, but at the same time, even then, I'm like, well, of course he's going to come back.
You know, right.
He's not going to die. So there's that, you know?
Yeah.
So they have to focus on the story of the dog and really get us invested in him, but then also his handler, who ends up being Robert Conroy. Yeah. Voiced by Logan Lerman. And I'm trying to think of his growth, you know, and then they do meet the French officer, Gaston, which I thought was a really cool friendship that they had. And I really liked that. But I just didn't see a lot of growth between the three.
Yeah, it was.
It just kind of happened. Like, yeah, you went to war and you did some cool things and came home. And then, you know, what was interesting is they had was Margaret the sister?
Yes.
That was where Helena Bonham Carter came right in. She was the narrator throughout.
Right.
She's talking about my brother. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen to him. We hadn't heard from him in months. And she was trying to kind of like create this suspense as if the sister was telling us what was happening.
Right.
But then we never see the sister. We never meet the sister at the end. There's never any, you know, reunion that happens with the family. It just, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a miss.
Yeah, I agree. There really wasn't a lot of story buildup. So my brother was in the army and he was stationed in Afghanistan for a while. And this was back in 2014. And so I remember seeing on the news one time that some guys in his division had died. And it wasn't until that moment where I realized, I mean, I always knew war is war. But like it never really hit home until that moment when I just started freaking out that I didn't know what was like, I had never put myself in that position of thinking that he might not come home, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, these are very real sentiments that I don't think were really portrayed in her mm-hmm. narration. Because you're looking at it from the point of view of Conroy, Robert Conroy, you know everything is fine. Yeah, he gets sick for a little bit, but like there's not a lot of questioning. It's just kind of a slow little narration.
Really, the saddest part is when the redhead officer dies.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
At the end. And I was watching this with my kids and I started bawling. And then my husband came home and I hadn't really like got myself together at that point. He's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, we're watching this movie about a dog that goes to war. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this sounds so pathetic. Oh, he's like, I'm not judging.
Right.
Like one of the guys died. And yeah, it was just like, oh man, this is really pathetic.
No, I mean, here's
like having to explain yourself, like, what happened? Are you okay? Why are you crying? And
I kind of wish there was a little bit of an angle of no one wins in war. That's how I see every war ever. No one ever wins. And you may think that you win, but you at what cost? And you still lost.
Uh-huh.
And so I hesitate to like movies that are about war as like, once again, this is how you and I differ, I guess, just because I feel like if there's a glamorization of it at all, it's like, this is a lie because there's not, no one wins in war. And I think one of my favorite stories of World War One, because it was such a, we have to look at, okay, the timeline of communication was all by letter. You had, it was just at the start of kind of the industrial age. And so the culture was so different. Even the point in time where you have the major come around and he says, well, God bless us and may God bless America. You know, it's just kind of a, like, no, they believe that. Like, it's not just a thing to say. That they are saying, I'm going to war. May God bless us, you know, because we are dealing with this. And there's this one story about a Christmas Eve where it was an unplanned ceasefire because along the trenches, people just started spontaneously singing Silent Night. And because of that, there was a ceasefire, and some of them got out of their trenches, went over to the other ones, and gave gifts to the others. You know, and it was just like, only the higher ups of the armies were mad about this, because there's like, hey, how dare you? We're at war. And that's, I guess it's one of those stories that just makes me realize how made up all of the hatred really was. And how, even in this story where they have the German soldier. So Jim Farr plays Schroeder, Colonel Schroeder, and he is German descent from Germany, but he moved to America and he had to join the army because otherwise he would be seen as the enemy. And I get in these modes, and these kind of movies just open this pillbox for me of, I just need to say that it's like there is no difference between me and any other person from any other geographic region. And I have a hard time when anybody says, oh, this is war. Like, no, it's not. Stop it. Like, there's always another way. So I guess this is my soapbox. I'll get off of it now. But yeah, I feel like maybe if the story would have shown more of that instead of just kind of glazing over the realities of war.
Well, it's hard because it's targeted at a family audience, kids audience. You know, I'm looking here at the movie poster, and it shows this like happy dog
right
staring at you with its tongue out, and then says Sergeant Stubby, and it has a paw print, you know, on as like the insignia. Right. And it's like, what is this movie trying to be? Is it trying to be funny? Because when you look at that, it makes it seem like, oh, it's so silly. It's going to be so fun.
Right.
But then it's like an incredible true story of America's top underdog. And then you actually watch the movie, and it's not goofy in the least. It's really not kiddie.
No. Yeah.
It could have been done as a live action and probably would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it could have taken itself a little bit more seriously, even though it was trying to be serious. That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
In the actual film, it was trying to be serious, but in the marketing, some of it, it was trying to be a little bit goofy to appeal to get those families in the door.
Yeah. But there was a lot of miscommunications in that. I think that's another reason why they weren't able to find their audience.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's so many cool things that this dog did,
yeah.
You know, that he was so determined to get on the boat, that he was able to do all these things to save from the gas and recognize a spy. And yeah, it seems like a no-brainer to have dogs, you know, on the battlefields and at war, because there's things that they can sense that just humans cannot, as long as they're well-trained, right?
Right.
And that if he just kept defying, defying, defying.
Well, the fact
defying,
that he wasn't even that well-trained.
Well, exactly. Like, yeah.
And crazy.
They just kept keeping him around, uh-huh. Surprisingly, even though he wasn't trained for that. You know, this isn't the first time a dog had ever been to war, so it wasn't unheard of. But, you know, he ended up becoming their little mascot. But he got put to work. And if you look at the dog, he's just this goofy looking dog.
Yeah. Well, the real picture of him, like, he's not a good looking dog.
No, he's not cute. Which is fine. Well, he's a Boston Terrier, but he's a mutt. So
yeah.
He just looks like he has these googly eyes that are like way wide set. And he's wearing this little homemade sort of vest thing. It's just really funny to look at. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, he's
Sergeant Stubby.
He's super cute in context.
Yeah.
But on his own. And there's a moment in the movie where Gaston was like, he's not a good looking dog. And he's like, yeah, he's not. But, you know, he's here.
Hey, they made him cuter than he should
be. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I think that that's also part of the charm of this dog. Like, if they would have done this of live action version and found a dog that was equally not as cute and gave him these endearing moments, I think they would have been an uptick in Boston Terrier mutts. Just because it's like, oh, they're so smart. They're so cute. And he was one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And we opened up the show talking about just some of these animals that open our minds to like what animals are, like their soul and their intelligence. And like the more I learn about them and other animals, the more I realize just how little we know about the depth of their spirit and what they understand and their purpose here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is we don't have a lot to say about this movie.
It is.
Like, we're just talking about the figure. We're talking about the idea of dogs at war. But when it comes to the actual movie, it's pretty dry, pretty straightforward.
So if you were to have rewritten this movie, what kind of things would you have added?
Well, the problem is, I don't know. I liked the movie well enough for what it was. For, you know,
It got you crying.
It got me. Yeah, surprisingly. I thought that it hit, as far as telling the story of Sergeant Stubby, it did a great job. It did that. Yeah. It never was going to be maybe this huge hit as a result. It's just so dry.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to fluff up the material with all this goofy stuff that isn't true.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't. I've tried to do a lot of research about the company, about like everything like connected to the film, because it is straightforward. It tells you the story. There's nothing really to there's nothing to complain about necessarily. The animation of it is good enough. They've stayed in their lane. They did the very best with what they had. They added a lot of quality people to this.
You know, one of the producers did a Reddit AMA in December 2018. His name was Jordan Beck. This is on the Wikipedia page. And one of the questions was asking about being a box office bomb. And he said, imagine a pitch for a movie like Stubby. We're going to make a kid's movie about the Great War. And there's this dog that gets wounded, but in the end, he's okay. This was always going to be a risky undertaking. And we knew we would have challenges, but it was an experiment to prove that there was an appetite for a different type of content. In this modern era, box office is only one of the revenue streams. Yeah. There's home media, non-pay TV, SVOD, airlines, foreign territories. Yes, our box office was not good, but that was not because we had a bad movie. It's because our release strategy was wrong and we didn't have the big bucks to compete with the major studios, especially after Disney moved the Avengers Infinity War up by a week and therefore caused Warner Brothers to move Rampage up to our release date. All in all, for the first effort, we are happy where we are going as Stubby begins to expand around the world. Paramount have come on board for home media, and we have kept all of our TV and SVOD right.
Oh, good for
them.
So,
I mean, he's talking about, you know, yeah, we understand it was a failure box office wise, but nonetheless, we still see it as a success for a variety of reasons. And, you know, we're moving forward. And I think that's a great attitude. It's not like, wow, we had this one bomb, we're done.
Right. Right. That to me is a bit of a success story in my own heart, you know, just because it's just a small group of people that said, okay, we're going to create this thing. And even though that one total was not good, they do still have these other ways of distribution and ways of monetizing this. So the fact that they are able to keep their licensing for that is huge. I really want to see more small companies like this do well.
Right. So the fact that, you know, that they didn't is just such a bummer.
It is. But it's also, I would choose to see it as the fact that, I mean, they're still there. They still have people that are part of their group and, you know, saying that they work for them. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're not done. And I like that. Like, they still have all the connections that they need. And all they really need is to be able to, like, join up with a video on demand service that feeds this kind of entertainment to a community that would appreciate it. So I hope that they continue in this. Like, I want to see small businesses. I want to see small entertainment houses succeed. I believe that, especially with the fact that the technology side has decreased in the amount of capital that you need in order to create a film like this, I really want to see these smaller studios be able to dig in and create more great stories and give them that opportunity, as opposed to just focusing on the what is Disney putting out now. And I really don't want them to sell out to Disney. Like, I really don't want them to do that. Like, I miss Blue Sky. I wish that they were still a thing. I don't want this to be a negative episode. I want them to be good. So, speaking of Rachel Wagner, so she was the one that suggested this. And she said, Sergeant Stubby, she really enjoyed. I thought they did a great job talking to kids about war without traumatizing them, but also not making it overly nostalgic and cloying. Neat to see a little studio make such a good film right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I agree with her. There are movies that will completely go in and glorify war, and this didn't. Even that last part where you the redhead died and like...
That was the problem. I can't tell you what this guy's name was. I couldn't even really tell you what the main guy's name was.
Yeah, that's just like, I know Schroeder.
Yeah. I know Gaston.
I know Gaston. But this guy, even though he was always there, they never really said his name. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so sad that. The last quote, I never understood why our boys were made to attack until the last. So many were lost that morning, but they did their duty. And I'm just like, ugh. Why? No one wins in war. No one wins in war. But
I mean, I disagree with you. I think war is necessary for some things.
This is where we disagree. So
I think you need to go to war for some things. And yes, no one wins in war. But in the end, like, you have to stand up for yourselves, and you have to, you can't just, what are you going to do? Just let people topple all over you and you die? That's not a winning.
No,
that's not okay.
No. I'm not a pacifist in the sense that I don't believe that you should never stand up for yourself. But for the most part, like, most wars are not started because the little guy needs help. They're started because the big guy wants to gain something. So,
well, not always, though.
I mean, looking back at the history, there's a lot of that. I don't believe in just rolling over and dying, but I do believe that most wars, especially in modern day, and even if you look at like long time ago, you have like all these kings going to war against whatever, and it's like, it's all for conquest. I mean, it's hard. This subject is a hard subject to talk about because I have so many different negative views on current culture that it bleeds into it. And that's not really what this movie was trying to be. And this movie was just trying to be like, hey, look at this cute dog that, you know, tried to do everything right for its owner and help the people out. So,
right.
Like, and that's really what the movie was. And like, I would like to focus on the fact that these dogs, the commitment that they have just for no reason, like the kid gave the puppy a cookie and then he decided, I adopt you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just so sweet, so innocent, so pure. And that's all this really, all the dog really wanted. And so it's, there's just no guile in it. And I like the fact that they were able to, as Rachel said, they were able to focus on him, but not make it overly glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as rating this, and for what it wanted to be and what it was, I give it 3 stars. And I did enjoy it. I cried when they showed the picture of the real dog. Aww. Like, I was just like, oh, he's so ugly, but
little
so
ugly
cute.
Little thing.
But like, in context, he's so sweet, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
So that's it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna give it 2.5 stars. It was good in the fact that I liked the story and learning about the history, and I thought they did it in a really well, simple way. Now, as far as being an entertaining movie or something more, you know, just a movie that was really going to make an impact, I don't know anything beyond that. Like, I've seen it. I don't really need to see it anymore. It's good. But yeah, it's kind of those one and done sort of films. And I don't think those are the films that really make an impact. And yeah, I'm glad I saw it, but it took a while to get there.
Yeah, it did. This would be kind of like one of those really cute children's books,
mm-hmm,
that you don't really have to dig into the depths of things. You just see, oh, look at the dog and look at how sweet he is.
Yeah.
Trying to help.
Definitely. All right. Let us know your thoughts about Sergeant Stubby, an American Hero. Did you see it? If you did, what did you think about it? If you didn't see it, what held you back from seeing it? Did you just not know that this existed? Tell us more about it. And our next movie review episode, we are going to be doing Isle of Dogs. So we're going to be able to compare and contrast kind of what audiences at the time were thinking when they had these two different dog movies. And we're going to definitely see Isle of Dogs, which was the big hit that it was, you know, had that Wes Anderson name behind it. What is the deal with that movie? So we're going to be talking about that one. We're also going to be continuing our series talking about the different Disney eras leading into the Renaissance. So that's going to be fun. So be sure to subscribe, and Be sure to leave us a 5-star review while you're at it. We appreciate it. It helps the podcast grow. And with that, that's all we have for today. Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers. Sergeant?
Sergeant? I say Sergeant!
Sergeant Tibbs!
Reporting for duty.
All right, I think my baby has woken up because Jimmy's making noise.
Aw, see, Jimmy is warning you about these things.
Doing his job.
This is not annoying. He's trying to help you.
I know. Little Jim.
And we're done.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.